GNC557. It's Thursday, March 5th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer in the Tech Podcast Network. Actually, it's Friday, March 5th. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you. And we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to catch up on, a lot to update you on what's happening here in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a great show. Got a great up lineup for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in today. I got a great show lined up for you. Make sure you, if you get a chance, get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. You want to get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover during the show tonight, including all of the links that have been sent in by listeners. And I must apologize. From the last show, we had such fun with the voicemails and me being getting called on the carpet that I never read the email. So we'll get caught up on email tonight. And as always, you can send your comments into geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Or if you want to call and leave a comment on the show or cuss me out or whatever you want to do, you can do that at area code 619-342-7365. That line's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I hope you're getting subscribed. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do so. And that way you can guarantee that you'll get the show downloaded automatically into whatever device you're using to listen to the show while on the roll. And that's the beauty about this, is this is time, great time-delayed content. At least as long as you listen within the first couple of days, the news won't be too old, but don't wait more than a couple of days to download the show. I am happy that iTunes picked the show up. It only took 48 hours this time as compared to 4 or 5 days. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that iTunes picks the show up. It was remarkable. As soon as they picked the show up and it updated, the download numbers just went, it went off like a rocket, like it normally does. So it shows me that many of you are still dependent on being reminded by iTunes that the show's been updated. Now, what we've really seen, and of course, those of you that have been subscribed to the special media feed, you see a torrent of videos that got pushed into that feed on Tuesday night. And yes, I pushed 30 videos in a single evening. And they're probably, I'm going to have to go back and re-edit those. But it was just, I had to get them all up. So all of the content that I was going to push in the special media feed is there. The server, actually, Angelo called me and said, "What did you do?" And I go, "What do you mean, what did you do?" He said, "I saw a huge spike in downloads of your video feeds. What did you do? I said, "I shoved 30 shows into the feed at one time." And he laughed. And I actually went and looked at the download numbers. And wow, I am really impressed. We've had a great uptake of people that have subscribed to that. Largely, a very large number of folks are on Zoom or the Zoom Marketplace. Almost 60% of all of the special media feed downloads came out of the Zoom platform. So it really blew me away. It really, really did. But of course, the podcast feed remains pretty even steel across a variety of platforms. BlackBerry continues to rock. All of you that are listening to the show on BlackBerry's, man, you guys have really, it's been an amazing growth year for those that are listening on a BlackBerry right now. So I'm pleased to have you guys as a part of the audience, part of the Ohana here. Of course, I want to welcome listeners from 163 countries worldwide. And thanks, whatever country you're listening in. Make sure you tell people, your fellow countrymen, tell them about the show. And I'd like to see that those numbers within those countries continue to grow this year as we're on our march to what I consider my goal for the end of 2010 to be at for subscriber-wise. And that number, we want to go way up in 2010, and that's the plan. But for those of you on Ustream, hey, welcome to the show as well. And a number of you are watching on video. I want to welcome Ron, one of my buddies here in Honolulu. He's watching on the stream tonight. Thanks for hanging out with me, Ron, and of course everyone else that's on there as well. Wow, what's going on here? Well, South by Southwest, Wednesday evening, I jump on a jet plane and head to Austin, and I'll be there throughout the weekend. Going to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday morning, mid-morning, I get on JetBlue. It's the first time I've flown JetBlue in probably, oh gosh, maybe 4 years. So any of you that have flown JetBlue in a while, and it was cheap, $129 from Austin to San Francisco. And, you know, you guys know I fly United a lot. The flight from Austin to San Francisco on United, because I have no idea why, $900. So that was a one-way ticket. So yes, I'm going to be on JetBlue, obviously, for the Delta and price there, but head out to Silicon Valley. I'll be there 15th through the 19th. Actually, get in on Monday the 15th, which really what's going to end up happening is I'll get in, get settled into the hotel, bam, go right into a podcast. We'll be talking a lot about what happened at South by Southwest. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen in the show because I have no idea the type of content I'm going to totally get a hold of while we're there. There might be a lot of audio interviews. We'll see. Well, it should be a lot of fun for that show the night of the 15th. And of course, released as an audio podcast on the 16th. Of course, I got my portable studio packed up and ready to go. I'm going to have a meetup in Silicon Valley or San Francisco somewhere on the 19th. I've already gotten a couple of people ping me and say, hey, Todd, I'm up. I'm ready to, you know, let's have dinner or something. So if you're in San Francisco, in Silicon Valley, if you're in wherever it may be, if you're in striking distance, we're definitely going to do dinner on the evening of the 19th. And I fly out again back to Texas on the 20th. And I might be there the rest of the month. Some developments going on there. Shh, can't say too much about it, but I'm pretty excited. I'm going to be in Texas for a while, and this can be a reoccurring theme for a little bit, I think. Got a lot of stuff going on in Dallas, in Austin, some even going to be down in Houston, so there is a lot of action going on in Texas. I don't know. It just seems like that's the place to be for me right now for a lot of consulting and stuff. My team continues to work on the NAB stuff, and we're going to have some team members out at NAB in Vegas, so look forward to that. Actually, I talked with a PR person. You guys are like, what do you mean you talked to a PR person? When you do a big show like CES or NAB or CeBIT or any of those really huge, huge shows, it's really different than like going to a Blog World or going to a smaller show, because really for those types of shows, we can get the word out. But there's going to be like 3,000 vendors at NAB, and these are real like all traditional guys, and there'll be some, you know, media creators there. But, you know, everything from the, you know, the guys with the big cameras this big down to little companies like us will be there, and we're going to be in the Broadband Innovation Zone. And so I've actually talked with a friend of mine here in Honolulu. His name's Peter Kay. He's well-regarded in Honolulu, and he actually Twittered me and said, hey, I got the perfect gal for you. She's the best, and I talked with her on the phone, and man, oh man, we hit it off really well, and she's putting together a proposal for me, so we may actually be hiring a traditional PR person for this show, primarily to get traditional press and to get meetings with regular companies that we got kind of out of our sphere of influence. And, of course, we're going to continue to do our social media piece. But, you know, I don't know what her fee's going to be. So I guess we'll find out if I'm going to find out if I can afford her or not. But I'm excited to work with her if we are able to afford her. And should be a great show. Again, due to stuff going on here in Honolulu and some personal business, probably be other team members going out to Vegas for that event. Okay, what else is going on? Hey, the Zune H4N. You know, I pretty like this little device. I've been doing some testing and see how good the sampling is. This thing is really good, and I'm really impressed with it. These little devices, remote recording devices, have come a long way. Of course, I'm recording on the primary studio or our primary recording machine, and I don't know if I pressed the right button here, if I can actually bring that up in the window. I moved the cameras around tonight. And let's see, which way am I? There we go. That's the camera one is the one I wanted. And its addition is working good. So hopefully that continues not to be an issue as I do the show. But we do have a good backup with the Zune H4N. Late this afternoon, the Audible insertion order came in. So tomorrow I'm going to be busy getting all of our shows that are slated to start that by. I'm going to have them get going here, so you'll probably be starting to hear some Audible ads on a variety of our podcasters that we work with, so don't go out and buy anything yet from them, okay? Wait. We don't want you going over there too early, okay? Shouldn't even say anything, but wait till we give you the URLs to check out, all right? So everybody just, you know, if you're going to buy anything from Audible, wait a few days, all right? I've started to get some envelopes. Got one tonight from Mark, and he's in PA. And Mark, I got your envelope here, self-stamped addressed envelope. And I'm going to be filling this full of swag tonight and putting it in the email. So we're going to have some stickers for you, probably a pen in there. You put plenty of postage on it. So a pen and, you know, just some cool stuff and nothing too fancy. But worth, whatever you put on here, you put in about 70 cents worth of postage, well worth the 70 cents well spent, and some stickers maybe for your laptop or something like that. So again, if you want to get some free swag from me, those of you that are signed up for the newsletter, I put the mailing address in there so that you know where to send your envelope to so that you can get some free swag. Thank for those of you that are contributed to the salary replacement plan that continues to go well. We're little by little, we're adding a few listeners every show. And the goal here is to replace my salary that I'm now taking through the advertising of the show to be able to afford to bring another person on. We're still at about 1%, and maybe next month we'll push into the 2% range. But if you feel like helping out with the show on a monthly basis, you'll find a link on the website at geeknewscentral.com. There's a link that's under important information called Geek News Central Supporter. And you can go in there and $2. And that's where you can start if you feel like doing so. And if every listener of the show just did $2, we could hire someone next week. We really could. It'd be great. But $2 a month if you feel like the content's worth it, and we thank you for that. All right, what else is going on? I think that's it. Let's take care of a little business so that we can pay the bills right now. And, of course, if you're looking for an online product to run a website, or if you're looking to get a hosting service, whatever it may be, GoDaddy.com. You know, they've been a longtime sponsor here of the show. They've got a great lineup of products. Matter of fact, we got a reporting in for the month of February. Bravo, listeners. Bravo. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It was a great month in February. Thank you for your support through them. But if you haven't picked up a domain name, if you haven't picked up a shared hosting account, or if you're looking for whatever online product, make sure you get over to GoDaddy.com. Tell your friends about it. I think that's what's driving a lot of our new customers over there. You guys basically spreading the word and telling about the great services they have. And when they get to that checkout counter, don't forget the geek here at Geek News Central. Code Todd will save you 10%. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. The big one, the big winner last month, Aloha. People are using Aloha, the code Aloha, like crazy. So I don't even know what the code Aloha does. I'm going to have to go over and look. The code Aloha, and let's see if I load this thing up. The code Aloha gets $20 off any order $75 or more. So that's probably why people are jumping on it. Geek SSL 12 will get you $12.99 SSL certificates. But I have a full list of them there on geeknewscentral.com. There's a link to it. And thanks for all of you for being a supporter and driving your friends and family members and people you know over to picking up products at GoDaddy and help me keep the lights on here at Geek News Central. Well, as you all know, we've had GoToMeeting here for a sponsor for a very long time, and many of you are using the product. And what I'm kind of looking for through the end of the month is some testimonials from all of you and something that we can talk about on the show. So if you're actually using GoToMeeting, it's something that you've started using it because you've heard from the show or it influenced a purchase maybe you did for a boss at work or something. Love to hear how you're working out, how that's working out for you, what value you're getting out of the product. You know, just drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com, and send that over to me. And it doesn't have to be long, one or two sentences. If you don't want me to read it on the air, that's great. But I'm just looking for feedback from all of you guys on how you like the product. You know, you guys know I love GoToMeeting. I use it on a daily basis. As a matter of fact, I spent half the day today in it, and I had five or six different presentations that I was working with different clients on. And we all know in a challenging economy, companies of all sizes, large and small, need to find ways to really cut cost. And every dollar saved really is a dollar that you can, you know, put in your pocket. So, and like I said, keep the lights on. So that's why I recommend GoToMeeting. It's an award-winning service, and it's brought to you by the company known Citrix. It lets you meet online right from your computer. You know, stop wasting time going to, you know, across town or doing these short day trips that you may have to do to meet clients. Collaborate in real time online. Use the voice IP service. You know, if nothing else, it makes for a great conference call system. It really does, because you can have multiple people in on a conference call. You don't even have to be using the GoToMeeting software, and that comes included. So you guys know I use GoToMeeting every day and recommend it highly. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Okay, let me go ahead here and make sure that I have gotten everything that I needed to say out in the beginning. And those of you that are following on Ustream right now, hey, Twitter, let people know I'm out here live. And even though it's the middle of the night for many in the East Coast, let's see if we can get some more people in on the Ustream stream. And of course, the audience that's listening via audio, hey, thanks for staying subscribed, folks. All right, let me go ahead and load Chrome, and let's see if we can get the regular content here on the road. And I close this little button here. And actually looking something, I saw something here in Twitter. And Big Odie, hey, thanks for dropping out the, or putting the word out that I'm up live. That's much appreciated for sure. All right. The, boy, Congress just really doesn't quite know what to do. We know that the space shuttle is due to really go out of service here at the end of the year. We've got just a couple of missions left. And, you know, there is some forces at foot that are trying to make some changes here. Senator Kate Bailey Hutchinson, matter of fact, I think she was not successful in a bid for governor in Texas a couple of days ago, but she has proposed adding $3.4 billion to the agency's budget between 2010 and 2012. Now, this is over on Wired.com. And so really what the plan here is she wants to have a shuttle extension plan. Now, the problem with this is, you know, NASA has already started to drop contractors and close out contracts. So, you know, this $3.4 billion for her in order to bring, you know, keep the shuttle online another year is challenging in that if, you know, this goes through and they get the money lined into the budget, then what will happen is NASA's going to have to jump through hoops to come up with a plan in order to, you know, keep the necessary contractors and contracts in place. And, you know, you may end up spending more money. And, you know, the shuttle missions may cost more per mission just because of this, you know, last minute ditch or last minute effort to keep the shuttle program alive for another year. That, you know, NASA really doesn't have any missions planned. So, you know, how long does it take? You know, they've got, usually they have shuttle missions planned years in advance on exactly what they're going to do. Besides hauling supplies to the International Space Station, they really don't have anything planned beyond the end of the missions for, you know, big construction projects. So I guess if nothing else, you know, the shuttle could be used to haul water and food and spare parts and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure they could throw something together, but I'd love to hear what you guys think about the potential of the space shuttle really being extended another year. Do you think the $3.6 billion is worth it? I'm a space fan. You guys know probably what my thought is. I think based on everything else we spent money on, you know, it's probably pretty good money spent in all things considering, you know, if, you know, if we bailed everyone else out, all the other companies out, then why should we not consider, you know, keeping the space shuttle up for another year? So love to hear you guys' feedback on that. Hey, next article up is another article over on Wired. I had two tonight from Wired, but this is going to excite you. Those of you that are geeks out there, this is going to really, really get you. You're going to waste a whole evening, I promise you, on this news. Popular Science has put its entire scanned archive online for free. So if you want to go back and look at Popular Science, hey, as a kid, man, this was a magazine of choice. You know, this is what I could not wait for this magazine to arrive. That and I think a couple other, I was in Boy Scouts. So I had a Boy Scout magazine that came. But as a kid, man, this was a thing to sit and I would read it cover to cover. Now, there's been very few magazines in my lifetime that I have read cover to cover. I remember Boardwatch when the BBS days were going on. Man, and that thing came in, the world stopped. Boardwatch, it was every page was like a new discovery, and I would go through that thing like five times to make sure that I never missed anything. And I had, you know, bought the boxes for the magazines, and you know, they were all organized and nice. I cried. I really did. I was devastated when Boardwatch went off, basically quit being a print magazine. So Popular Science is another one of those magazines that I grew up with and loved. How about you guys? Do you guys still read Popular Science or not? But I think it's pretty cool that they put their entire archive online for free. So it's pretty exciting stuff. All right. How many of you have downloaded Opera version 10.5? Well, Asa Dolce is reporting that the new release of Opera 10.5 Windows only for now has pretty decent open video support. In other words, HTML5. HTML5, man, it's coming like a freight train. We're going to be ready for it. Don't worry. And it's exciting. But boy, oh boy, once again, Asa, I'm sorry. He's overjoyed about the OGG format. Someone, you know what Google should do? Google should go out and buy the company that has the H.264 format. It's going to cost them $1 billion probably to buy that. But just buy that from that, you know, that holding from that company and then make it open source and let it. This would solve all these issues overnight. You know, if Apple wants a, you know, Apple's sitting on a huge pile of money, you know, they should go out and spend $1 billion and buy the codec from that company. Now, how much is that worth? Does anyone know what would be the potential licensing fees? Now, I think if I was the codec owner or the, you know, basically the person that had the patent and all the licensing for that, and someone came to me and said, hey, Todd, I got a cool $1 billion for you. I think I'd be like, just write me a check. Whatever you want. You can have it. It's yours. You know, go ahead. Because 2013, all of us, including me, that are using the H.264 format to encode our videos, you know, we're going to be having an issue because they're going to come calling for some money. And no one knows right now exactly how much that money is going to be. Now, I'm going to have to show you, actually, those of you that are on Ustream, you're going to get to see the coolest swag item I think I've ever seen. Now, swag, you know, comes in all sizes, different types of things. But during the Olympics, the folks at Canon gave away a lot of your Canon users, right? Well, how would you like to have gotten some swag that was a 70 by 200 pro level Canon L series white lens? Most of you are probably raising your hand because you know how much that lens costs. Well, caution, they weren't really giving away a lens. It was a coffee mug that looks like a 70 by 200 millimeter Canon L series white lens. This is the absolute best piece of swag I have ever seen. And I am so, if it's on eBay, I'm going to buy one. It's just, you know, it's one of those things you have on your desk as a geek. Someone comes, oh, wow. You know, that's what people are going to say if they see that. But very, very cool stuff. I have to give Canon major kudos on this for really kind of coming up with the coolest swag that I think I have seen in years. Really, that if I saw that, I'd be like, can I have two? Three. But you had to be in the press area at the Olympics, and so the mainstream media was able to get some of these. All right, you know, my son keeps bugging me. He wants a PS3. And you know, I've been kind of putting him off a little bit, and I didn't realize how old his PS2 was really getting. But did you know Sony's PlayStation 2 celebrate its 10 years? 10 years. And man, my kids are still playing this thing like crazy. Like, play the Wii, of course. We've got a Wii, but he wants a PlayStation 3. And I didn't realize the PS2 had hit 10. This article read at Engadget. And, but it was launched on March 4th, 2000 in Japan, and got to the United States in October. But yeah, 10 years with the PS2. How many of you got PS2 consoles still in play at your houses and your kids are still using them? So I can understand. I thought, oh, it's been that long. Like, you know, my son's only 12. So, you know, I could have bought it for him when he was 2. So it probably was already out of date when I bought it in the first place. But well, so what do you think? Think I should get him a PlayStation 3? I don't game, folks. I really don't. So he's 12, my daughter's 13, so yeah, maybe we'll do a recycling on a game console the upcoming Christmas. But you know, maybe someone's gonna have to clue me in on what to buy, and maybe we'll just stick with the Wii. You know, the iPhone, all these companies are coming out with all these little adapters, and a company called, yes, New Potato, you're hearing this correctly, a company called New Potato is coming out with it's an IR dongle. Now, this is to be able to control your cable box. This is so that you can, control your stereo, change the TV channel, all this remote control stuff. Now, if you're like me, you're always, where's the remote control? Where's the remote control? Okay, so we're all on that same level, right? Because we never can find a remote control. They're always MIA. And it's just like pencils and pens. Where do they go? Where do they go and hide? I've lost more remotes over the years than anybody else. But they've got this little adapter on here, and it's called Flipper, FLPR. Okay, I'm going to go out and spend money on this thing, $79.99. And it's going to last about 3 days because I'm going to be playing, I'm going to have it changing channels and doing everything else with it. And then I'm going to go off somewhere, and I'm going to take that little dongle and I'm going to sit it somewhere and it will be lost forever. I'm sorry. Apple, just put an IR sensor in the device and be done with it. I don't need to have any more additional stuff. But what do you guys think? You're going to go out and spend $80 for this unit? I don't know if I would, based on my history. Now, how many of you have got, moving on here, how many of you got a scratched up iPhone? Mine's in another room, so I guess I don't have mine to look at. And it, you know, how many of you have, you know, spun it on the table, or it's, you know, you've been carrying the same pocket that your keys have been in. And I always try to keep stuff from touching the screen. I don't have any of those little plastic screen protectors on mine, but I do keep it usually face up against my pants pocket or something. But the folks over at Gizmodo have a way to basically shine up the back of your iPhone. You're going to need some sandpaper. Now, that sounds scary, doesn't it? Some 320 or 500. Well, actually, they've got all the grits listed here. 3M rubbing compound, machine polish, a power drill. So a machine polisher attached to a power drill, micro buffers, and some sticky tack or tape. And you're going to lose your Apple logo on the back of it, but when you're done, this thing is going to look like brand new, minus the Apple logo. So I'm impressed. You got very good instructions here on how to do this. And I have the link up for you in the show notes. $15 and you'll get your worth of materials. And you'll get the, and probably that's most of that is spent on the attachment that you're going to put on your drill. But they've got instructions on how to clean up the back of your iPhone. Now, the of course, last week, the U.S. military basically came out with a policy that said they're going to allow troops and service members to start using social media sites. They said that, you know, as long as you're not talking about anything operational, you know, you can use Facebook and, you know, you can, you know, put the messages on there. They're going to start using, I'm sure the press people in the military are going to be using the these social media sites probably for recruiting tool and so forth. But in Israel, a raid was canceled after a very stupid Facebook post. Some soldier in the Israeli army said, I hope bin Laden doesn't find out about the secret raid on his account. Oh, actually, what did he say? That was a fake post. A raid on suspected militants West Bank was canceled after an Israeli soldier updated his Facebook status. Says, on Wednesday, we clean up Katana, and on Thursday, God willing, we come home. He posted that on Facebook. Now, they wasn't supposed to say where they were going, and he told the whole world. Apparently, the soldier has since, unsurprisingly, been relieved of combat duty for being an idiot, and he's going to spend 10 days in the gulag for his update. Wow. Wow. And, of course, this was very serious. They consider this a classified movement of troop movement and so forth. And so the Israeli Defense Force is being very, very proactive on this. And they're actually going to be working to educate their service members on the importance of not leaking data like this into Facebook. So I don't know what that guy was thinking. Why would you do that? You know, and having spent 24 years in the military, you know, that's an automatic ticket to seeing the admiral. That's an automatic ticket to losing stripes. That's an automatic ticket to losing a security clearance if you have one. You know, it's just bad. And wow, to think that this guy would do that, not smart thinking on his part. All right, over the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing a lot of surveys come out about social media and whether men are using it more and women are. Of course, last week there was one that was saying that women were more socially adept on social media sites and using them more, making more friends and so forth. But a new study released today by the a comprehensive study of online behavior by Liberty Mutual, aren't they like an insurance company, found that men, 57% of men are more likely than women, 50%, to have more than one social networking account. With the exception of Facebook, men are generally more likely than women to use a social media account at least a few times per week. I think what we can disclose here and take from, no matter what, is that whatever survey is being done and however the questions are asked, a lot of people are spending a lot of time on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and so forth. And I don't think they'll ever get a real handle on this, but have the link up to this article in the show notes. Apple today once again become the draconian party pooper. And Apple says Wi-Fi sniffing apps are no good, and they have yanked a number of apps to actively scan Wi-Fi connections, according to a blog entry posted last night from 3Jack Software, which makes Wi-Fi Wear app. I know that I have a Wi-Fi finding app on my iPhone. So a very popular app in Japan called Tonichidot was also removed from the App Store. And it was actually the number 3 app being sold in Japan. Basically, it was an application where you take a picture and then they would GPS locate where the actual picture was and automatically embed that on the picture. So they've been pulled. So once again, Apple is cherry picking different apps to be removed from the App Store, which, you know, without a lot of, you know, explanation. As it should come as no surprise, nearly 300 million voice IP subscribers are predicted to be going online by 2013. That's huge. But they believe that over half of those 300 million subscribers will be associated with online mobile voice IP providers, Under one-third will utilize voice IP with a 3G or mobile operator. What? They just contradicted themselves in this article. Under one-third will utilize voice IP with 3G MVNO or mobile operators, and 11% with WiMAX LTE operators. Thanks to increased availability of dual-mode phones, voice IP is becoming especially popular in the Asia-Pacific region, nudging past the current market leader, Europe aside. In the meantime, this move to mobile voice IP has prompted some to ask if we're getting close to an all-voice IP phone. I would think so. And I wonder what that percentage is here in the United States. How many of you are tracking how much data you're using on any of your smartphones? Be honest with you. You know, you can reset the data usage on your iPhone, but I always forget to do so. So I have no idea how much data I'm using every month. I just pay the bill electronically. I don't even think I even get a bill anymore. But does anybody know where you can actually go on AT&T and actually find that information out? I don't even look. But I'm kind of curious what you guys are using. You guys know how much data you're using with your smartphones? JK on the Run has a survey going. How much 3G did you use the last billing period? So they'll have this data up publicly. Once you answer your question, you'll see where the survey results are. But are you going over 5 gigs a month? Are you getting charged for bandwidth? Or are you keeping under the 5 gig limit that most of the providers have set? Love to hear from you back on that. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Now, when I was out at CES, one thing I saw out there was a lot of green technology that was being embedded with either some sort of a cellular chip or Wi-Fi. Basically, these energy smart devices basically could communicate with other devices in the home or a central location in the home. Google today has released an API for their Energy Tool Power Meter. And what this does is devices now that are going to be running software that can integrate via wireless to this API will send data back to Google and allow Google to basically present to you in a reportable form how much energy devices are using. I could see here in another 10 years where every device in our home is basically calling home to mama, and we'll get a monthly, you know, our weekly or daily readout of where energy consumption is going on in the home, you know, basically reminding, hey, turn the computer screen off, or, you know, maybe you should be shutting the computer off during the day and so forth. But Google, up to this point, has only been working with a few companies. So Google had been planning on opening up the Power Meter API since the Energy Tools inception a year ago, and only been working with a few partners, but now it's going to be open to any company. And this is big. It really, really is. Based on the demos I saw, was really what they've done is they've built a layered infrastructure that takes similar data sets from each device, and then it puts it in a readable format where you can tell peak usage is being used, how much kilowatts you're using a day on a device, and so forth. So it's pretty cool stuff, and it won't be too long before, you know, we'll get a email every day of energy readout or a warning. Hey, you know, you've just left for work and it's 8:35 or whatever time you head out the house, and we're seeing a spike in energy consumption in the house, and you need to go back and shut the iron off or whatever it may be. So that could happen. We'll see. Dave Weiner's got a good article up, and I was a little bit concerned because I wasn't aware of this information. Of course, Dave is credited, along with Adam Curry, for being the father and godfather of podcasting. And through the enclosure tag in RSS feeds, I owe a lot of my livelihood to, basically the developments Dave has done with Real Simple Syndication. And, of course, RSS is universal at this point. Everyone has an RSS feed on almost every site and every application that they're using, whether it be, a web blog to something that you're using on Twitter or whatever it may be. But Google is now trying to redefine real-time web. And Google is going to be ignoring billions of RSS feeds in real-time updates, and they want people to convert to Atom to get more currency in search. And, you know, I'm sorry. Atom is kind of like, I can consider a dead protocol at this point. We still support it with our applications, but it just doesn't have the breadth and depth of utilization across the internet as RSS does. And I can't figure out why Google wants to continue to fight RSS after all this time. Dave put together what's called the RSS Cloud. Matter of fact, WordPress announced support for the RSS Cloud a couple of days ago. And actually going to be, if those of you that are on WordPress.com, I have blogs over there. Basically, whenever you put up a blog post, those that are subscribed to your RSS feed can actually receive a push, basically a notification that that has been updated. You don't have to, it actually, you know, kind of, it tells you, hey, Todd has put new stuff up, go check it out, or even puts the data up right up in whatever application you're using to get those pushes. And instead of, you know, basically every hour the software going out and polling the different sites. So it's kind of surprising here with all this development of RSS Cloud that Google still wants to go the Atom route and trying to ignore RSS feeds. I don't get it. So I'm going to send Dave an email and see if he'll respond and give me a little more details, some context, to see if we can find out where he's pulling this data from and where he's heard this from. If you're a Yahoo Mail user and you've got a lot of friends over on Facebook that are not in your Yahoo email contact list, you can now import contacts from Facebook, Gmail, Windows Live, and possibly others. It's real easy through an interface on Yahoo to pull in contacts from those different social media sites and a variety of different services as well. So I'll let you know about that. And I'm not a big Yahoo Mail, but I know there's a lot of people that use it. Have this link up for you in the show notes. Probably the biggest news today, and for those of you that are here, well, we've got a number of listeners of the show that have to, there's not even listeners. We've got a lot of people that are hearing impaired that use a variety of different applications to listen to audio. Some of them use an auto-translate application. In other words, as the audio plays, their software actually does an auto-translation form and puts that up on the screen. But YouTube today has announced captions for all videos. Now, this is exciting because hearing impaired folks now will have the option to turn on captions so that they get, basically every word that's being said in a video, as long as there's not too much background noise, Yahoo says they're going to be able to come up with a pretty good transcript. So this is exciting stuff for the hearing impaired. This is good. And there's a YouTube video up right now talking about, basically there was a school that they went to of hearing impaired folks who you can see the absolute excitement in their eyes. They're signing out what their feelings are. And it's actually with students from the California School for the Deaf in Fremont, California. They took the stage to thank YouTube for the launch. And it's really, I agree, it's pretty amazing. It really, really is. And I think this is a big step. It really is a big step. And this has always been a challenge for the hearing impaired to be able to really get the concept or the context behind a lot of these videos. I know that they have employed a variety of different software tools to try to automate it for them locally, but it's nice it's being done by YouTube, and I think we'll probably see a lot of other companies follow right behind. Lots of mobile patent lawsuits right now, and it's just gone nuts. Of course, Apple is, they've just basically have gone off the deep end. Suing a variety of different companies, HTC being one of them. And we'll see what happens with all this, but it's all over patents, folks. They're trying to squash competition. One another's trying to go after each other. It's ridiculous. And they've got a chart here. Apple, of course, has sued HTC. Nokia. Now, in reverse, Cisco Systems has sued Apple. Elon Microelectronics has sued Apple. Research in Motion has sued both Sharp and Motorola. Nokia has sued Qualcomm, Sharp, Samsung, Hitachi, Toshiba, LG Group. Kodak has sued Sharp, Sony Ericsson, Samsung. I mean, the list goes on. These are all mobile patent lawsuits. These companies, some lawyers are going to get rich. That's for sure. But it's all about the power play for the mobile space. If you can't win with good products, you have to go out and litigate. Real Networks has settled with Real DVD. It's Real DVD case. It's dropped the product and has paid $4.5 million. Wow. That was their penalty. They agreed to pay $4.5 million to six major Hollywood studios and others that challenged the technology that allowed us to rip our DVDs. Now, this whole Foursquare mayorship thing. How many of you are, any of you that listen to the show, are you a mayor using the Foursquare app in some location? Some folks are like, this is an obsession. They're going to businesses like 30 and 40 times a month to maintain being the mayor of a business. I just don't get it. I really don't. This has to be destructive to, you know, if you like a place that well, fine. But I don't think there's any business that I frequent more than a couple times a month. But, you know, you guys, any of you mayors? And what's the story behind that? Is it an eating establishment? Is it a business or what? What are you guys mayors of? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. All right, we talked about the Sony Dash, I think, on the last, maybe we didn't. On the last, no, I don't think so. This news just came out. The Sony Dash is now available for pre-order. Of course, I covered that at CES. $199 device can access over 1,500 free Chumbi Internet applications. And so if you're looking to get a nice device, this is a pretty good one. I played with this at CES. I really like it. It's a nice, basically go on your counter. You use an alarm clock. You can check, have it programmed to be on a traffic channel. You can be subscribed to your favorite podcast through it. This is really going to be a cool app. And of course, you'll be able to listen to Geek News Central through it as well. So Sony Dash is available for pre-order, $199 through Sony.com. Moving on here. The shuttle has been rolled out to the pad. Shuttle Discovery has rolled out Launchpad early Wednesday in preparation for the next launch. The International Space Station was going to schedule to go down on April 5th. Big discovery today, an American instrument on an Indian spacecraft has detected deposits of water, ice, and portions of craters in the moon's north polar region. They used what's called a mini-SAR. It's a synthetic aperture radar instrument, which flew on India's Chandrayaan-1 spacecraft. It detected water, ice, and permanently shadowed regions of more than 40 small craters with an estimated 600 million metric tons of ice overall. Scientists have long hypothesized that portions of those craters could serve as cold traps. So this is pretty big news here. And don't fully understand how they fully did that with the technology, but very, very cool stuff using a mini-SAR on a satellite circling the moon. Very, very cool. All right, the Electronic Frontier Foundation's demand the FCC close the copyright loophole in net neutrality. They presented the FCC with over 7,000 signatures asking for the provisions to be stripped from the final rule. Essentially, this issue at heart goes back to the reasonable network management exception to net neutrality. In other words, net neutrality rules are supposed to protect us for media that we're moving that's legitimate, or voice IP, streaming video, being able to chat on the internet, all this stuff that we normally do. But this exception, this reasonable network management exception to net neutrality, is completely surrounding illegal copyrighted content. So if your internet service provider feels that you are sharing programs, media, doing stuff that you shouldn't do legally with your internet connection, then the network neutrality rules are off the board. They can shut you down. So the feeling is by the EFF that and as I'm quoting here from them, a loophole like this could allow network neutrality with ISPs claiming copyright enforcement as a pretext for all sorts of discriminatory behavior. So We'll see what this, if this makes a change. I don't know if it's going to or not with the FCC. It's probably going to be hard to get them to change that, but only time will tell. All right, Microsoft Patch Tuesday for March is only two bulletins. Two patches are coming out. This is much better than what we have, 27 in February. And as a matter of fact, two or three more throughout mid-month. It seems like February was a patch month. Everything that, I mean, I got so many patches for all of my computers. It was like my machine, I'd come in the morning, that machine's rebooted again. How many patches does this thing need to get? But looks like there's only going to be two bulletins, a remote code execution, and actually two remote code execution bugs are going to be squashed with this update. Now, in a story that's getting weirder and weirder, I'm going to put this up on the screen so those of you that are, there's not a lot to see here, but this, remember this, the RIAA against Joel Tenenbaum? And he lost his case and was ordered to pay $675,000. Well, apparently his lawyer, for some unknown reason, was putting up links from his website to the exact music content that this Joel Tenenbaum was being sued for. Yeah, you heard me correctly. On this lawyer's website, he was linking to the infringing songs, and the judge simply has lost his mind because the RIAA has said, why did you do that? What's the story here? Why are you putting this up? We want an inquiry on why you, we want a response from you. Lawyers have this thing is called a motion to compel. Motion to compel, really, in the end, what it ends up meaning is you are compelled to tell what this your reasoning for this is. And if I win a judgment against you, you're going to pay for my fees to for filing this motion. So the judge is not happy with this guy. And Nesson did not file a response to the record label. So on March 8th, the labels are going to be able to provide the court an affidavit containing an itemized statement for the expenses they incurred in filing the motion to compel. So this lawyer who's took this case pro bono is now going to have to write a check to the RIAA. What is this guy thinking? I'm sorry. I just don't get it. All right, here in Honolulu, you know, I work really hard to try to get some of my friends here in the state to, you know, the Google Fiber Initiative. You know, go and pull Google. We want that, you know, we want that 1 gigabit speed to come to some city in Honolulu, hopefully Makakilo. And, you know, do you think I could get anybody to listen? I sent a letter over to the legislature. I sent something to the mayor. No one responded to me. But the folks in Google, Kansas, yes, you heard me correctly. Actually, the mayor of the city of Topeka, Kansas, has urged the citizens of Topeka to recognize and support the continuing efforts to bring Google's Fiber for Communities experiments to the city. And he, in a proclamation, he said that the month of March 2010, the city of Topeka will be known as Google Kansas, the capital city of fiber optics. Why can't my state do something cool like this? Here you've got a mayor that gets it. This guy says, oh, what would this do to our city? This would like put us on the map, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with Topeka, Kansas. I've been to Topeka before. Love it. But, you know, why would this, why would no one here in Hawaii even respond? I applaud the mayor of Topeka and the citizens that live there for renaming their city Google Kansas for the month of March. So we'll see. I mean, there's a big fight going on here. There's other companies going to Grand Rapids, Michigan's charging hard. So is Greensboro, North Carolina, Duluth, Minnesota, Columbia, Missouri. They're all like being very, very aggressive to try to get Google to come to their town to to wire up their citizens with 1 gig. But do you think I could get anybody in Hawaii to even lift a finger? Nope. I guess I just don't have the political connections. All right. BBC article. Homeland Secretary Janet Napatala. I'm going to destroy her name. Anyway, you guys know who I'm talking about. Homeland Security Secretary. She has, Janet has came out and said that there's an urgent need to step up efforts to protect Americans from cyber attacks. Her comments at the world's largest security conference hosted by vendor RSA comes as a cyber threat grows ever more sophisticated. She goes on to say, instances like the attack on Google and China have underscored the issue. We need to do more. We need to do it faster, she told the audience in San Francisco. She said that the government was working in a sense of urgency and the Department of Homeland Security stands at the very important juncture. Well, okay, you're in charge, ma'am. Don't you think that's on your watch? You need to, you know, you can implement it. Make it happen. You know, go to Congress, get some more money. Say we need to beef up, you know, the cybersecurity. So we'll see what they do here. But with these type of statements coming out, doesn't that just like, you know, doesn't it make the cyber thieves and the, you know, the cyber terrorists, doesn't it make them all kind of sit back and go, if a government official saying that the defenses of the United States are weak, maybe we, you know, we're, instead of looking over here, we attack more U.S. infrastructure. You know, they probably already know what the weaknesses are, obviously, but why, you know, publicly say that, you know, we got a problem? Just fix it. You know, do your job, or get an agency that's supposed to do the job, do their job. I don't know. What do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. All right, over in Spain, Spanish police have revealed that they've arrested 3 men responsible for one of the world's biggest networks of virus-infected computers. It is estimated that the so-called Mariposa botnet was made up of nearly 13 million computers in 190 countries. I think that's like just about every country, right? It includes PCs inside more than half of Fortune 5 1,000 companies and more than 40 major banks. So there's 3 people behind this that have been arrested so far. And the botnet had really not been employed, but they found 800,000 pieces of personal data on one of the perpetrators' machine, basically stuff that would basically make, you know, very easy for them to do identity theft and so forth. So, wow, big one they shut down there. So we'll see if they catch anybody else. Over on the LA Times, you know, I think I knew this when I was going to high school, but scientists have finally settled on a single asteroid hit as a culprit in dinosaurs' demise. A dream team of researchers concludes that the massive Gulf of Mexico impact 65.5 million years ago, not volcanoes or multiple impacts, indeed caused the great extinction event of all. And this is official. The extinction of the dinosaur and a host of other species 65.5 million years ago was caused by a massive asteroid. So they say that the 120-mile-wide, 1.5-mile-deep crater in Mexico is the same age as, you know, basically when this event happened. So anyway, that's the scientific. I think we all kind of like knew that already, didn't we? Is that anything new there? I guess all these big heads got together and said, yep, this is what happened. Wait till next year. See if somebody comes up with a new story. All right, over on Reuters, and a big disclaimer here. This is off of Reuters.com. I have a link to Reuters in the show notes. So Reuters, don't sue me. U.S. seeking 1 gigabit internet speed for communities. U.S. Federal Communications Commission will seek to bring internet speeds of 1 gigabit per second by 2020 to community institutions such as schools and government buildings, FCC Chairman Julius Ganowski said on Thursday. Now, this ties back to the FCC National Broadband Plan, which is already starting to raise the ire of congressional reps. Capital folks are already wondering how much congressional opposition there's going to be to any proposal that the FCC makes on the National Broadband Plan. So this article on Reuters is a pretense for the one that I'm going to link you to up here on Ars Technica, talking about what congressional representatives are starting to think and how that fight could go down. But essentially, what is being predicted is that some senators are going to essentially launch or introduce a bill that would ban the FCC from regulating the internet, period. So that might be coming from Representative Marsha Blackburn, a representative out of Tennessee, Republican. So those of you that listen to the show in Tennessee, you need to get on the phone. And those of you that live in Arizona need to get on the phone and contact Senator McCain's office and Representative Marsha Blackburn's office and basically tell them how you feel about them basically telling the FCC they should not be regulating the internet. Because if you don't, very well, they could try to push this through. Now, with the Democrats controlling both the House and the Senate, maybe it won't have a chance in making it through. But weirder things have happened, that's for sure, especially with the lobby money that's going into both Republicans and Democrats from most of these, Comcast and so forth. All right, what do you guys think about mail being canceled on Saturday? You know, a lot of times, I'm so crazy busy during the week, I don't have time to go to the post office. Now, there's many times that I'm pushing the wrong button here. There's many times that I just don't have time to, make it to the post office during the week. With the Postal Service considering shutting down postal delivery on Saturday and not having post offices open, it'd be pretty challenging for small businesses where maybe it's a one or two man shop. It may see, maybe the shop is doing most of their deliveries on Saturday. Definitely, I think it would be a boost for FedEx for Saturday or UPS. Of course, there's no UPS or FedEx delivery here in Honolulu on Saturday. Even though 44 cents is a lot more than what we were paying just a few years ago to mail letters, it's still pretty cheap if you think about it. I don't know. Would you guys be willing to give up Saturday mail delivery? That's what's being proposed out there, folks. So congressional hearings went on last week. We'll see if Congress gives them the approval to do that. Article on Billboard talking about the fact that music performers are not making very much money from online streaming services. Okay, they're making some money for online streaming services. Do you know they're not making any money from traditional radio? Appears that Billboard forgot to mention that in its article. So when you see this article, if you're a Billboard reader, just remember that traditional radio comes over the airways and into your AM/FM stations. They don't have to pay to play music. Now we know that Congress has been trying to push through a bill. And you probably hear those ads on traditional terrestrial radio saying, did you know that traditional radio is going to be impacted negatively and you may not be able to listen to your favorite music if this bill, and you've heard that all on the radio if you've listened to the radio at all. So it does seem odd that Billboard would leave out this analytics on traditional radio not having to pay. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But just be aware and remember that streaming services are paying, traditional media radio stations are not. Okay, kind of a weird show tonight, I felt. I don't know about you guys, but if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. I've got some email to go through here. And I found a website tonight. Actually, my mom sent me a link to this. And first of all, when I saw it, I thought, oh, is this some political action committee or it's called Born Again American. And they got a pretty cool song on the website. This is a bunch of people across the nation of all ethnicities and all different types of background. And they've got a pretty cool song. I have this linked up. It's a video. The video is cool to watch. There is a little bit of a Christian tinge to it. So just to give you a fair warning on that, a few places in it. But it's basically kind of a remix of, it isn't necessarily like America the Beautiful, but it is kind of an interesting song. So I thought I would share it with you. It's a 6-minute video. I have it linked up in the show notes. Not real techie, but I've never paid attention to this, but with all craziness going on in DC these days, this may ring true for some of you. It's a cool song. It sounds pretty cool all the way through. They did a good job on it. Okay, let me go ahead here, and again, I don't think it's didn't look like it was either right or left on the political spectrum, so that's why I'm sharing it with you. So anyway, that's that. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the email. No voicemail tonight, so we're clear on having to play any audio. If you've got any comments, again, that you want to share with the show, drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com or the call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Got an email here from Mal. He's down in Australia. He says, "Hey, Todd, I'm a regular listener. Great show, by the way, and have only emailed into the show for a few times years ago. Anyway, scanning through my feeds, and this article caught my eye. Being as I am from Down Under in Brisbane, Queensland, to be exact, it's about an infamous Queensland cane toad. Do you may know about the pest Down Under, that it was introduced into Queensland from Hawaii to help control bugs eating the sugar cane before the harvest. Either way, you may be interested in seeing this. A bit of a fun news regarding the big, big problem that they've created ever since. Don't mess with nature. Hey, you know, the same thing, we have the same thing going on here in Hawaii. They introduced the, they used it to, it's an animal to catch rats. Ron, if you're watching, you can help me out here on the, in the chat. What is it called? It's, I'm pulling a blank. Well, they introduced toads down in Australia. They introduced the animal I'm trying to think of here in Hawaii. And what happened was, is the animal slept during the day and the rats were out at night. Actually, vice versa. The rats were on a night schedule. The animal they introduced here in Hawaii was on a day schedule. So it really never, you know, solved the rat problem. Same thing, sugarcane fields. They're trying to get rid of sugarcane rats. And so you guys got toads. I'm just about killing myself here. What is the name of the, Ron must not be watching because he could help me out here. I've talked about this on the show before. I'm feeling like an idiot too. Let me see here. I don't remember. Anyway, we have those big toads here too. And sometimes, certain times of year, they like to get on the road and we have a lot of toad roadkill. Next email is from a buddy of mine. Actually, it's from Ron. He said, ABC could go dark on cablevision. Another network is playing chicken with a cable company over money. This time it's ABC Disney and cablevision ABC Channel 7 could go dark on Sunday just after the stroke of midnight, leaving 3 million plus cablevision subscribers in the New York metropolitan area wondering who took home the Oscar for Best Picture. In a nutshell, NBC wants the cable company to pay WABC, which carries Channel 7. Right now, the cable company pays nothing to retransmit the station's free over-the-air broadcast. The network argues that Cablevision then turns around and charges viewers for that content as part of the basic tier, costing as much as $18 a month. So there's a fight on there. Along with that, a little more news from Cablevision. Cablevision is going to launch remote DVR in April. So if you're a Cablevision customer, if you have been looking forward to remote DVR, that's going to be coming out here shortly. I got an email from Bree. She said, "Hey, Todd, that was gracious retraction of your rant against Senator Franken. I was pretty frustrated with you after hearing what you originally said, but I just stored it away. I want to thank your listener from Brooklyn. He answered that bit in a humorous and intelligent manner, better than I could have done. And you were very good about admitting that you did not research Cuban statement about Al Franken. Now, if you could just get you to believe in global warming, Bree, I've never said I don't believe in global warming. I'm just saying that there's a lot of people with a lot of different ideas on what's really going on with global warming on both sides of the fence. After all, we had a great warm winter, right? No snow, very warm, lots of clear roads, grass growing in the East Coast, right? I'm just teasing, okay? Don't get mad at me. Let me go ahead and move on here. Got an email from Nathan. Todd, I usually get the show directly from my iPhone from iTunes and stream or download it straight to the phone without using the PC, but sadly, it is not showing up the iTunes app on the phone at the present. It's a shame that you're not on MediaFly, as this is the only other place I am get my tech fix. I see GRC news on MediaFly, even though it's not the one I listen to, so maybe this is something you could look at in the future. Keep up the hard work, mate. GNC, Twit, and Buzz Out Loud are my top picks for tech shows in that order. Kindest regards, Nathan. And Nathan, we're on the MediaFly. We're in their directory, and I've been able to find it before. So hopefully, we'll have something that you can, some other little application you can use shortly, instead of having to use that MediaFly app. Okay, but we're on there, and yeah, iTunes is getting better about getting us on there, as I said the last time. All right, got an email. Oh man. Got an email from Jim, and Jim's a longtime reader of the website and listener of the show, and he has got me a link to a website over at yourmaclife.com talking about an iPhone app review website that's doing all kinds of nastiness and basically trying to extort money from people to do app reviews. I have that linked up in the show notes for you to check out. Also, boy, oh boy, more news coming out about Daniel Brewski and his, basically the company that he was trying to extort for a Mac Air. And the full story's come out, and Jason Calacanis is in there about passing email. It's just nasty. So I have this link up in the show notes. Thanks for sending me that, Jim. I appreciate it. I got an email from Andrew. He said, "Hey, Todd, I was just watching the new moon landing special When We Left Earth on Discovery with the same new NASA video from the 1969 Apollo 11 landing. It's really well done and thought you might like to tape it if it hasn't aired yet in Hawaii. Looks like it'll air again on Tuesday." So I'll have this link up. I hope I didn't miss it, Andrew. Again, I didn't read email on Monday's show, so I may have already... maybe already slipped past the schedule here, but I'll keep an eye out for it. Also, Andrew sent me an email saying, "Hey, Todd, I hope your family in Okinawa is okay after the earthquake." Yeah, they were fine. They rode out the earthquake. They're okay. They are in my father-in-law has a very, very, very strong structured house. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. After all, it was built to withstand 250-mile-an-hour super typhoons. So it did okay. Don't worry. But anyways, I came across this link and found this vision restoration operation, which is incredible. The graphics they show are pretty amazing, and the whole idea of a 30-minute surgery restore site is just incredible to think about. I would want to see real results, so to truly believe how it works. He also talks about other companies using cameras for eye implants. All the best. And this is, when you see this, folks, I'll have this link up in the show notes. You got to check it out. I think that's... Actually, I got an email from Ryan. All this was back from when the all the stuff going on for the tsunami. Yep, Ryan, we're good. Got an email from Bill. "Hey, Todd, longtime listener, just wanting to know what the swag giveaway was. Again, it's stickers and some just variety of stuff. Again, nothing more than I'm going to be able to stick in a regular legal envelope and basically get it back to you. So not a lot of super big stuff, just a little bit of swag worth a couple of stamps to send out an envelope. Again, I have that link to that data in the show notes for those of you on the newsletter. Okay, I think that's it. I think I'm caught up. Actually, did I get this one here? No, I got an email from Frank. He said, "Hey, Todd, check out Wallop Island NASA base." And he's got a link to this. I'll have this up in the show notes for you to check out. Let me look at the date on the calendar. That's on the 27th. I think we're... Am I caught up on email? Yeah, I think we are. Yep, we are. We're all caught up. So anyway, folks, that's it. Thanks for hanging out with me. And regular show next week, regular time, regular place, released Tuesday morning, of course, live recording here at Geek News Central Monday evening. For those of you that want to come hang out, I think you guys are getting ready to change your clocks to back to daylight savings time sometime, I think around the 14th or so. So it's actually going to make it later for those of you on the East Coast. There'll be a 6-hour time separation, which really is yucky. Right now it's only 5, and we'll be one more hour later in Pacific Standard Time. So I'm sure the numbers are going to drop and the number of people actually coming and watching a live stream. But don't worry, it'll be up available on the website. The video will. The audio will be, of course, available via the podcast subscription or to be able to listen on the website, YouTube, of course, over at Blip as well. So don't worry, plenty of places to consume the content anytime, day or night. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show. Thanks for hanging out with me. Those of you on Ustream, hang out. We'll hang out and chat for a little bit. Anyway, everyone take care, be good, and aloha.